Okay, guys, so I hope everybody's doing, really well. I thought it was a good time to do a little bit of a podcast, just, updating everybody on what I'm doing, what the sort of like plans are, I guess you could say, and really where it goes from here. It's been a bit of a mess the last 2 weeks. I've been a bit all over the place. I really hate when a marathon ends and you just feel a bit unsteady and you're unsure of yourself, and that sort of doesn't matter how the result goes. It's just you're a bit, you had this like focus and you had this like really big goal that you were aiming towards, and then suddenly it's like, shit, like, well, what now? And so, yeah, so it's just calming things down again. And I tell everybody the truth. I had planned to do Valencia, so I was gonna do Dublin. And then the way the Olympic qualification works is you either qualify via time, which is 208.10, or you qualify via points. And so, obviously when you pick Dublin, and Dublin's an amazing marathon, but like if we can't really compare Dublin to, let's say, like Seville, Valencia, Berlin in terms of like fast course. And what are we talking about? We're talking weather, we're talking course profile, elevation, etc. The biggest thing with Dublin is that it's not just that a hill slows you down, it's that you burn more fuel up the hill. And so you're really almost having to probably run a marathon at slightly, and I mean slightly, not a huge amount, but slightly under like marathon effort to perhaps what you could have done at a very flat course. And the reason for that is because like the marathon's a game of fuel. And so it's kind of like when you're, driving your car 50 miles and you know how many miles per gallon you can do on a 50-mile drive. And then when you throw in some hills, it's kind of like your revs are just going to go crazy up the hill to try to maintain that same speed. That's fairly obvious. The difference is that running down the hill on the other side versus, freewheeling down the hill, our body doesn't really do like freewheeling. You're still going to be using up fuel. And so essentially, like you end up burning more fuel. And so you just have to be very careful with how you're managing your like fuel reserves. And so it really isn't as simple as, oh, there was a, an 80-foot climb, and so that slowed you down by 15 seconds. And so actually the course is only 15 seconds slower than X, Y, and Z course. It's not that simple because of the way you have to manage fuel and because of how much more fuel you burn going up a hill than you do on the flat. Yeah, you burn a lot more. So you have to be very gentle almost going up the hills, which, yes, obviously takes more time, but it just makes it a much tougher task. Because of it's already difficult to manage that fuel. And so add in hills and maybe cold weather, which you're burning energy to heat yourself up. It makes for a tough day. So obviously I didn't really think I was going to run 208.10 at Dublin, but I knew that I could get good points, which would, help set up the process of qualifying for the Olympics. Then I believe that something like Valencia, could work really well, mainly because it's probably the best marathon in the world, bar Seville, perhaps, around where you've got a bunch of runners trying to achieve the kind of standard that, I wanted to achieve is the, the easiest and best way to put that. Like it's a marathon where you have a lot of athletes are going to run between 207 and 212. Lots of runners. Amazing course, very predictable and very welcoming weather for marathon type conditions. I don't need to sell it anymore. The reason I if you follow Strava and you see what I do on Strava, I took 2 full rest days. Then I, got myself kind of going again. And the reason it nothing went wrong. I was able to do some relatively good training, but I guess if I'm honest, like I just asked advice from, Gary, who had helped me up the mountain. And I was kind of like, instead of ignoring the obvious, it was like, you've done two very good marathons, like recently. One was London in 2020. One was, you know, Dublin in now 2023, 2 weeks ago. And the common denominator, you could say, is that there was an influence in that 6-7 weeks leading into it, you know, with Gary and his group and those guys. And so I was kind of like, all right, well, maybe I need to just ask his opinion, ask his advice. And look, at the end of the day, if the goal was to train for, you know, the Olympics and try to make the Olympics and all this stuff and actually do well at an Olympics, well, you know, Gary at the last Olympics had two athletes on the podium, like Abdi Nageya and Bashir Abdi. So it's kind of like, well, why would you not ask like his opinion? And I think another part of that was, there's a saying out there that is, do as they say and not as they do. And so in the like running school and all that, like I talk about, like, you know, in fact, when I first set up the running school and Luke, who was helping me film little bits, he actually said, like, what would make you retire happy, I suppose you could say. And one of the things I said was like, just in a build up, like not getting in my own way and like, you know, like not changing the plan or not anything like this. And I said like the best athlete in the world, well, you know, not the world record holder anymore, but Eliud Kipchoge, double Olympic champion, still the best marathon runner in the world until perhaps he races Kelvin Kiptum. I still believe he's the best marathon runner until Kelvin, you know, can also win two Olympics and as many marathons as maybe Kipchoge. But look, cutting that whole long story short, I basically said, like, it doesn't really matter what you would pay Kipchoge. He'd always do like a 12 to 16 week build up, no matter what, because that's what it takes. And so I guess I wanted to start doing things better. And in the school, I would encourage people to, you know, stick to a plan, don't make reckless decisions, don't make emotional decisions, don't rush things, you know, do your 12 to 16 weeks, don't like skip parts. And then it's like, well, why are you not going to listen to that advice? Why do those rules not apply to you? Why are you going to advise other people to do that and not do it yourself? And so that's probably where I have the knowledge of what should be done. But I'm lacking, or had been lacking, that emotional control and discipline to do what I know is the best thing. And so I can write these amazing plans. I can think about these amazing plans. I can be confident that they would work. And then it's like, yeah, but are you actually going to stick to it? Are you actually going to do it? And so I made this decision, even in the build up to Font, or in Font, sorry, like the build up to Dublin, that it's like, kid, I don't think you've been doing things well. I think you at times know what to do, but I don't think the execution of actually doing things the right way has been working. So let's kind of pretend you know nothing and just copy Bashir. and that seemed like a good plan, because, like, you know, Bashir's doing so well. And then to see him go on to Chicago and, you know, run 204 and come third, it's like, all right, well, that's a guy who's executing things and doing things the right way and getting the job done. And so then you deserve that success. And so even looking at the Dublin build-up, it was like this like 10 to 12 week build-up where, for, you know, the best part of 6 weeks of that build-up, like before I went to Font, it was a mess. It was still messy. And so probably had I kept on that path and not gone to Font, well, the result you would have seen at Dublin would have been very different. And then there would have been all these excuses and all these reasons why. And really it would be, no, like the reason why is because like the buildup was messy. And it's like running's really simple. Just have the discipline, have the patience, execute the plan. You'll get that good result. What the difficult part is controlling yourself in the buildup to not sabotage that race. That's the difficult part. And so that's, in a nutshell, what I then thought about Valencia. It was kind of like, I do like YouTube videos and there's a saying, I think it's like, try to make your next video better than your previous. And if you stay on that path, that you're constantly refining and just making little parts of it, not all of it, not like the, you know, not massively better, just little bits of it better. Doesn't matter if it's the audio, the quality, the story, the advice, it doesn't matter. Just make little bits of a video better, and in a year's time, 2 years' time, well, you should be producing much better videos. That's simple, right? So if you apply the same rules to running, and it's like just try to let your next training build up, your next race go better, well, how could I possibly do that in 5 weeks for Valencia, knowing that I still had to recover from Dublin? You know, it was like this impossible task. And so Valencia not happening, it gives my foot a chance to like recover where I'd had a bit of pain in the foot. And it just allows me to let things reset. I have never taken like 10 days to 2 weeks off, like not by choice. I've like that, and not even injury. Like I've retired and then I've taken like whatever, like months off, but that's not like we're going to take 2 weeks off because that's going to help the next build up and that's ultimately going to help you be a better runner. I've never done it by choice. But if the coach of two athletes that made the podium at the last Olympics says take 2 weeks off, you take 2 weeks off. No matter what the psychology's saying, you know, no matter how difficult that might seem, just it's like just do what you're told. 'Cause like you're not gonna be like told to do that because it's gonna like sabotage your like career. And I think the like the inconsistencies in my career this has then likely came from maybe not taking recovery periods like seriously. And I think we're so stubborn to like cling to things we've built, whether it's fitness, whether it's something in the house, whether it's we're so stubborn to like, oh, I can't just let that, you know, go away. I can't let my fitness just drop. I've just worked my ass off in Font for whatever X amount of weeks with these athletes. I want to keep that fitness. But at what cost? And maybe the cost is that like, sure, you might keep the like aerobic fitness and that's great, you know, that's awesome. But if your body physically, like tendons, muscles, all that stuff, if they don't recover, well, then in order to achieve a better result in future, you need to be way, way fitter, as in way, way physiologically developed, like more than previous, to make up for the fact that the body's not in a good way. Tired, tendons might not be as strong. And that's the stuff that it's very difficult to quantify, like ligaments, tendons, joints. That's your, call it like your spring, your like pop off the ground. And if they're not recovered, well, then you're simply not going to move at as good a pace as you perhaps could have with the same level of fitness. So fitness, you can get to a really good place, but if the body as your machine is not moving in that, you know, efficient way or that like strong way, well, then it requires more effort to run at speeds that you used to be able to run at less effort. So look, maybe that's why if you take a step back from that, and you make none of this about physical and you make it just about psychology, well, maybe the inconsistent results is because you didn't have the discipline or the patience to do the right thing. If we learned anything about Dublin, it was that making really good choices, really good decisions in the build-up created a really good result. And that was literally only for like the last 6 weeks. So like, God, like, come on, what if we do that for 12 weeks or 16 weeks? Like, and that now becomes the goal. That's where I'm going to change. I'm now a runner who wants to master the craft of running, not to use it to help my psychology. It still will, but decisions are being made not about like output is what you could say, not about external goals, not about specific times, or not about even the Olympics. It's just how would you live today to master the craft of running? What decisions would you make? So I had a friend pop over for a coffee. So apologies if I'm distracted with where, you know, I had recorded up to, you could say. But basically the moral of all of that. So, not doing Valencia, not rushing the process of what does it take to run a good marathon is ultimately the whole probably just goal moving forward, is that there's no room in marathon running and certainly not at the professional level when you're trying to achieve absolute best potential, you could say. There's no room for error. And so I guess you have to make sure that the build up and the plan and the potential of the race at the very least has the best chance of success. And then if you have to cope with things along the way, you know, illness, a little bit of an injury setback, anything at all, you can probably handle it a lot better because at least the plan gave you a chance of success. And I believe that a lot of poor performances or not to the, you know, potential that perhaps you have, myself included, is coming from compensation for poor planning. And so if the plan doesn't look good, if the, you know, the plan doesn't allow enough time to train for a marathon, all these things, suddenly you have to make these compensated decisions that force you to, you know, train a certain way, to rush the long run process, to just basically have to make decisions that you wouldn't have made if the, you know, the initial plan had the right amount of time, if the initial plan gave you enough time to do the long runs, you know, when they should be done. And that's like, well, you know, if when you should do a long run is like, you know, 2 weeks back into training, and then maybe you should start with like 10 miles as that first long run, you're making that decision based on the right decision, not, well, I know I should only do 10 miles, but I have a marathon in 6 weeks' time, and so 10 isn't enough. And it's like the more compensated decisions that you're making in that build-up for any reason, even if that reason makes sense, right? So sure, it is in 6 weeks. Sure, with 5 weeks to go or 6 weeks to go, you probably wouldn't do 10 miles, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't make it a good decision. It doesn't matter how you justify it. It doesn't matter. Good decisions, lots of them, lots of very, very good decisions along the way to anything in life is what often creates very, very good and most importantly, replicable results. Whatever results you achieve, you want to be able to repeat them. Running, it's fun to talk about personal bests. It's a cool thing to be able to say, I did X, Y, and Z. But actually, I think what most of us enjoy more is knowing that we could do that again. Knowing that in 6 months' time or in a year's time, we could go back to a similar marathon, maybe the exact same one, and either perform to the same ability or perhaps even better. And when you start making some very good decisions and you start being patient and disciplined and all those good things, that's when I believe the best results come. And for far too long in my career, I've not been willing or able to make those really good decisions. I know what they are. I know how it should look. But I'm often just being convinced by my psychology that I should do something different, or that I'm different and I can do this. And yes, Kipchoge, it might take him 16 weeks, but I can do it in 5. And let's be honest, I wasn't getting the job done. The results weren't at the level that perhaps they might have been if I could just follow some of the basics and stick to a plan and take my sort of recovery time when it's needed. So that's the goal. That's the plan. I'm not allowing myself to veer away from it. I'll take my recovery time, then I'll rebuild and I'll get back into running. Recovery time isn't as simple as just do nothing. It's a bit of time to let things reset, but you know, you can do your yoga, you know, you can do little bits in the gym that perhaps you hadn't been doing that might help with, you know, little injuries that perhaps were creeping in or popping up. I'm not talking about going to the gym and doing a full lift. I'm talking about doing the very boring basics that, you know, perhaps get neglected when you're in the heart of the training. working on your like pelvic control, little glute bridges, TheraBand work, all the nitty gritty stuff that all adds up to getting you in a good spot to resume training and not break down when you start back training. And so this is like the perfect time to be chipping away at those things and get them in the routine before you start back training. It's also harsh, but it's not the time to go mad with the lifestyle stuff. You don't start drinking. You don't start like eating shit food. It's not the time to let the lifestyle side of, you know, being a good athlete just fall apart, because then the psychology falls apart with it. All those good decisions, good sleep, good food, you know, not being greedy, that was benefiting life as much as it was benefiting your running. So hold that together. But I hope you enjoyed that. That's a bit of an update. I don't know yet which marathon will be the next one. There will be a decision made soon. It's a case of weighing up roughly what sort of date might be best, when you could be ready to perform again, and then trying to get a marathon that's around that date, basically to have you. It's not as simple as I'll enter a marathon. I need like the, you know, drink support, the elite start, maybe a hotel, maybe some help with travel. And so that'll all get organized once I sort of figure out what dates might work the best. And then you ultimately repeat process for, you know, what could be a great Olympics. And it's looking very promising, very likely that, you know, qualification should get done, but the job's not done yet. And this is really, like I said, about the mastery that is the craft of being a runner and how that might look. Live that way, sleep that way, eat that way, behave that way. And that's likely what's going to lead to some better results in future. Lots of very, very good decisions. And the correct decisions, no matter what the psychology's saying, is what's going to get the job done. Okay, guys, take care. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye now.